Every day, hospitals and health systems are doing some of the most innovative work in America, finding new ways and new partners to collaborate with to advance the health of their communities. Each is turning to a different approach for patient care. Welcome to the American Hospital Association's new podcast series, Just Lead, a series highlighting how hospitals and health systems that have been recognized with AHA awards for innovation, collaboration, and health equity are transforming healthcare for their communities. I'm Tom Hederle with AHA Communications. The annual AHA Dick Davidson Nova Awards recognize the stars of this effort. The awards salute those programs that are helping to address many of our nation's most pressing health challenges while creating healthier communities and increasing well-being for their neighbors. And by the way, the deadline for applications for the 2023 Nova Awards is November 16th. You can learn more at www.aha.org/nova. One of the five programs recognized with the 2022 Nova Award is California's Monterey County Diabetes Collaborative, a joint venture from the Salinas Valley Memorial Healthcare System and Montage Health. With me today are Dr. Stephen Packer, President and CEO of Montage Health in Monterey, California, and Pete Delgado, President and CEO of Salinas Valley Memorial Healthcare System.
Thank you both, Pete and Steve, for finding some time to join me on this podcast today. Really appreciate it. And congratulations for the recognition, you know, the Dick Davidson Award that you got in San Diego. Nice to have that kind of national shout out for your good work. So that kind of leads into my first question, which is give you a chance to brag about the health systems you represent a little bit. My first question would be, and we can go, maybe Steve, if you want to go first, what makes Montage Health special? What should people know about it that you think really, really stands out?
So Montage Health has been the premier provider of healthcare on the Monterey Peninsula, the western part of Monterey County, for over 80 years. Our hospital, the hub of our system is Community Hospital of the Monterey Peninsula. We provide a broad spectrum of services, comprehensive services, both in the ambulatory and in the inpatient setting. And we are obviously the trusted provider that has helped our local community on the Monterey Peninsula navigate through these very, very challenging times over the last couple of years during the pandemic.
So Pete, what would you say about Salinas?
Like Steve's organization, we're a full service hospital, and I brag that we're culturally sensitive and a payer blind. But most importantly, we're trying to get out of the four walls of the hospital to help improve the health of our communities that we serve.
One of the most impressive things I think about the award that you got is the fact that I guess in some ways you're sort of market competitors, but you put that aside to come together and create this fantastic program. So question for both of you, and you can go in whatever order you like. If you could paint the picture a little bit for our listeners about what the diabetes situation was in Monterey County. I mean, how bad was it? How many adults were at risk? And how does the collaborative address the health threat?
Well, it's the number has been in the number one, number two community health need for some time. And our patients, you know, it's like one out of every two, three patients that we see have diabetes. Many didn't know. Mm-hmm. And our community was, at 10 years ago, was very fragmented and wasn't very responding appropriately or in a coordinated way. And, you know, it took, you know, Steve and I getting together and identifying our you know, putting time, talents, and resources together to go after it with a vengeance.
Yeah, I would echo Pete's comment. You know, somewhere around 40% of Monterey County has diabetes or pre-diabetes. And obviously, the larger of those numbers is pre-diabetes. And it's really a reflection of elevated levels of obesity in our community. And as Pete mentioned, public awareness of the risks of pre-diabetes and of opportunities and resources to help community members essentially intervene and prevent the development of diabetes through diet and exercise, really awareness was very low. And so for us, waiting for people to come in the hospital with their coronary disease, with their renal failure, with their strokes, it seems pretty short-sighted. So we really wanted to go upstream, get out into the community, and try to promote diabetes awareness and promote prevention. And in fact, that's what the diabetes awareness campaign was all about. It was about both English and Spanish language public awareness campaign across multiple media channels, you know, whether it's print, bus benches, buses, internet, social media, television, really trying to create a message that resonated with our community.
And to make things a little bit more challenging, the Latino community, predominantly the Latino community, had already accepted that this is something you live with. This is a generational. And so the education, the awareness, that the investment that we did that, really helped understand that you can avoid it. This is something doesn't have to, just because your grandma had it, your mom had it, your brothers and sisters had it, don't expect, you know, you don't need to have that going forward.
That's a fundamental change of the paradigm. Yeah, it is. A really important one, yeah. Circling back for just a second to the education and awareness components of the campaign, I was reading up a little bit, and I understand that diabetes, at least in one of the ad campaigns that was put together to raise awareness, was to characterize the diabetes itself as the beast, something that feeds on risky behaviors, which seems like kind of a neat way to connect with people. How did that work out, and what kind of a response did you get to that?
We had a fantastic response, Tom. It was remarkable. We were really looking for something. I mean, we've all seen public service ads that are pretty rote and pretty standard and a little tired. And we were really looking for something, you know, both with a jingle and with a character. We developed a beast that was featured. It looks a little bit like a blue cookie monster that was featured in all of our media campaigns and in live events when those could take place in a safe setting during the pandemic. And, you know, the concept was to make this a little bit more accessible and to grab people's attention and to drive them to our website so they could get, again, in English and in Spanish, educational materials, take a risk assessment, get referred to a diabetes prevention program.
Yeah, it really resonated with the kids. I mean, it was a cartoon type campaign. The music was catchy. The melody was easy to follow. And people remembered, but in that process, the kids, mainly the kids, began to understand the relationship with food and intake and exercise. I know Steve and I entertained presentations after presentations, trying to figure out what is the best way to reach and resonate with the population that we want.
And in addition to the collaboration between your two systems, I think you had some other outside partners joining the effort from the community. Is that correct?
Number of organizations that have aligned up. Uh-huh. I mean, that was part of the success, is partnering with nonprofit organizations, going out. The Blue Zone project has part of its success is going to and developing relationships and partners with restaurants or grocery stores, policymakers, and so on. Well, we leverage that as well. And the diabetes campaign kind of made it easy to leverage that as well. It's well aligned.
The other area that we're really proud of is if you think about young kids, 8-year-old, 10-year-old, 7-year-olds, going to the pediatrician's office, and some of those kids really having significant issues with obesity. Busy practicing pediatrician doesn't have time to sit down and counsel those kids on diet and portion control and the like. So we developed a pediatric wellness program where we had dietitians who were young, could relate to the kids, and where these referrals would happen for free and were accessible literally in the pediatrician's offices. So they didn't have to drive halfway around across the county. And this we essentially placed dietitians, dietitians in pediatricians' offices in Salinas and in Monterey to really get to where the kids were.
Our medical community began to get much more coordinated. Early on, it was a very fragmented community, and now we are We've got two major groups, and the whole medical community is aware that we've got some comprehensive diabetes centers with educators, with specialists that we can respond to their patients' needs and bring them back. And so I was real pleased with the medical community, how we responded. And now they know where to send patients when they see someone that could benefit.
Such a terrific and well thought out and comprehensive program. What's been the impact? And if you have statistics or anything measurable, what's been the difference that you've seen so far since the campaign really ramped up?
In our adult program, for example, we had over 1,000 adults and children enrolled in our diabetes prevention programs. And in the adult program, it generated an average weight loss of 5%. And in the pediatric program, 60% of participants maintained or reduced body mass index. So we were able to bend the curve, you know, slow any weight gain and see improvement both in the pediatric and in the adult population.
Pete, anything to tack on there?
Those are the latest numbers that yeah. we have heard, but it's really nice to hear individual stories. I think there was a story about a grandfather who was at risk. He had pre-diabetes, and he changed his lifestyle. He changed his food, but the impact that it had on his daughter and his granddaughter, I think he lost about 20 pounds. His daughter lost 25 pounds. His granddaughter lost 10 pounds just by being around the grandfather and watching him not only change his eating habits, but also not be at risk.
That's a great story. Yeah. One last question, and we'll wrap it up on this. For somebody listening who thinks, you know, I'd like my system to maybe try something like this, or maybe we can partner with somebody in our own market and try something similar, what would your takeaway, if you have a takeaway lesson or piece of advice to a peer out there, what would you say about what you've learned so far?
The power of collaboration is huge, You know, I congratulate the American Hospital Association for not only honoring it, but encouraging that among markets that are competitive. Every market is different, but every community challenge is different too. And if the medical community could come together, they can have a huge impact on the health of that community.
I would echo Pete's remarks. I think, you know, historically, they're pretty much in almost every market in the United States across this country. There are multiple systems, and they're competing to provide care, and typically acute care and tertiary care and so on and so forth. I think when it comes to prevention and community health, we share common cause. I mean, we clearly all want to see our communities healthier. We want to live in healthier communities. We want our employees healthier. And no one system owns the health of the community, nor should they. We view this as a shared mission, a shared responsibility. And if we can simply kind of overcome, I think, longstanding historical barriers related to competition and get around the same table, great things happen. Great things happen.
Gentlemen, thank you both very much for your time this afternoon. And congratulations again on such a fantastic program that's making a big difference in your community.